ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, chapter entitled The History of the Life of Ajamila, text number 11. Shri Badaraya Nirvacha, Shri Badaraya Nirvacha, Karmana, Karma, Nirharo, Nam, Hi, Atyantika, Ishyate, Avidvad, Adhikaditvat, Prayashchittam, Vimarshanam, Karmana karma nirharo, Karmana karma nirharo, Nahyatyantika ishyate, Nahyatyantika ishyate, Avidvaradikaditvar, Avidvadadikaditvar, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam, Karmana Karma Nirharo, Nahyatyantika Ishyate, Avidvaradikaritvar, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam. Shri Badaraya Nirvacha. Karmana Karma Nirharo, Nahyatyantika ishyate, Avidvaradikaritvar, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam. Shri Badaraya Nirvacha. Karmana karma nirharo, Nahyadyantika ishyate, Avidvaradikaritvad, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam. Shri Badaraya Nirvacha. Karmana karma nirharo, Nahyadyantika ishyate, Avidvaradikaritvad, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam. Others. Shri Badaraya Nirvacha. Karmana karma nirharo, Avidvaradikaritvar, Prayashchittam Vimarshanam. Shri Badarayani Uvacha. Shukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, replied, Karmanam, By fruitive activities. Karma nirhara. Counteraction of fruitive activities. Na, not. He, indeed. Atyantika. Final. Ishyate. Becomes possible. Avidvat. Adhikaditvat. From being without knowledge. Prayaschittam. Real atonement. Vimarshanam. Full knowledge of Vedanta. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vedavyas, answered, "My dear king, since acts meant to neutralize impious actions are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulations of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one action through another is useless because this will not uproot one's desires. Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Guru, Shukadev Goswami, has examined Parikshit Maharaj, and it appears that the king has passed one phase of the examination by rejecting the process of atonement because it involves fruitive activities. Now, Shukadev Goswami is suggesting the platform of speculative knowledge. Progressing from Karmakanda to Gyanakanda, he is proposing Prayaschittam Vimarshanam. Real atonement is full knowledge. Vimarshana refers to the cultivation of speculative knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, karmis who are lacking in knowledge are compared to asses. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Namang duskritano mudha prapadyante naradhama mayaya paritagyana asadang bhavam ashita." Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Thus, karmis who engage in sinful acts and who do not know the true objective of life are called mudas, asses. Vimarshana, however, is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyaha." The purpose of Vedic study is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one studies Vedanta, but merely advances somewhat in speculative knowledge and does not understand the Supreme Lord, one remains the same mudha. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one attains real knowledge when he understands Krishna and surrenders unto him. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavangmang prapadyate. To become learned and free from material contamination, therefore, one should try to understand Krishna For thus one is immediately liberated from all pious and impious activities and their reactions. Om Jnanatim Anandasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karahayam Tadati Swaparantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devaya Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Karmana Karmanirharo Na Hyatyantika Ishyate Avidvar Adhikaditvat Prayashchittam Vimarshanam. My dear King, since acts meant to neutralize impious actions are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulations of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one action through another is useless, because this will not uproot one's desires. Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth. We're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. So in the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami described all the hellish planets and how one has to suffer if one commits sinful activities, how one has to suffer after death in these hellish planets. So this has been very Pradikshit Maharaj, who is hearing the instructions of Shukadev Goswami. He's very much interested in this topic because he knows that he only has a few more days to live and that he wants to spend his remaining few days properly. And he's concerned that he may have committed some sinful activity in his life. So he wants to know how he can avoid this going to these hellish planets. So there are different processes for getting relief from having to go to hellish planets. And different people are advised to perform different, to accept these processes, one or the other of these processes, according to their capacity to understand what is the best process for them. So Shukadev Goswami, of course, Pariksit Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord and he understands bhakti. But he's also, so he's asking for himself and he's also asking for us as well. So Shukadev Goswami, as an expert teacher, he giving examination. In order Every good teacher knows that when you're giving a class, when you're supposed to instruct a certain group of students in a particular subject matter, you have to understand what is the capacity of the students. So if they're very elementary students, then you don't, and you want to teach them mathematics, you don't start with calculus. And similarly, if they're graduate students, you don't start with arithmetic. You have to gauge the audience. And in order to do that, the expert teacher will give an examination. Have you ever been to a class where the very first day you walk into the class, new teacher, new subject, the first thing they do is give you an examination on the subject? Yes, actually in modern education these things are done, because especially if you don't know what is the previous qualification of the student. So Shukadev Goswami is speaking now for Srimad Bhagavatam for many, which will be the topmost evidence for the whole age of Kali. So he's very systematically instructing to Parikshit Maharaj. And the first question that he asks is Parikshit Maharaj asking these questions. So the first instruction that Shukadev Goswami gives is, well, you should perform atonement. You should do prayaschitta. You've done some sinful activity, so you have to do some karma. Perform some sacrifice. Undertake some vows in order to become relieved. And very serious, if there's a very serious offense, then you have to do Chandrayana Vritta. Chandrayana Vritta means that you take a full meal on the day of the Purnima. And then you take 15 mouthfuls. And then gradually, through the paksha, you reduce one mouthful every day until on the Chaturdasi you take only one mouthful, and then Amavasya you fast completely. And then Pratipat you take one mouthful, again you increase until the Purnima you can take full meal again, 15 mouthfuls. So that's for a very serious offense. So similarly there's different karmas prescribed for different sinful activities. So he gives this, first he gives that instruction. And Parikshit Maharaj, he doesn't appreciate it. And yesterday we heard how he said that this does not sound like a very good proposal, because simply if I do one karma in order to become relieved from another karma, then I'll still have the tendency to do karma. And in the process of doing karma, I'll commit more sinful activities. And again, I'll have to suffer. So Shukadev Goswami says, okay, my student has passed first test. Now here's the second test. Karmana, karma nirhara. Okay, I like your answer. Karmana, karma nirhara. Na hyatyantika ishyate. It's not complete. This process of karma nirhara through other kinds of karma will not give the complete result. Why? Because avidvad adhikaritvat. There's still avidya there. One still is in ignorance. And as long as one is in ignorance, then one will continue to commit sinful activities. So therefore, I recommend prayaschittam vimarshanam. That you should, vimarshanam means discrimination, investigation, understanding what is the real meaning of things. This is vimarshanam. In other words, he's recommending the process of jnana. So there's no end to the process of karma because this ignorance is there. This is the philosophy of the karmi, of the jnana yogis, the jnanis. This is the philosophy of the jnanis. This karma will not ultimately do you any good because you're ignorant. And because you're ignorant, you'll not know what you're doing, and you'll commit more sinful activities, and you'll have to give more. So don't just simply, their philosophy is, they preach to the karmis, don't just do this prayaschitta, this ordinary prayaschitta. Okay, you've earned some money. The karmis will say, okay, you've earned some money. So you've committed some sinful activity in the course of that money. You may have walked on the street and killed so many insects. You may have, by your breathing, you may have cheated someone in your business activities. So you've done these things, so therefore you should give some charity. You should perform some austerity. You should open a hospital, whatever, to become purified of you have so much money, so use it like that. But what is the result? They simply become proud. Oh, I've opened a big hospital. I've given charity to so many people. I've built temples, whatever. I've done so many wonderful, pious things. I'm okay. But there's the tendency to commit sin remains. And it's true, they'll get the benefit of that prayaschitta, but again they'll commit sin, and again they'll have to suffer. So the jnani's proposal is, no, this will not work. You have to give up the propensity to commit sin, and that requires knowledge. You have to know what is sin, what is not sin. You have to know what is the material world. You have to know how it's constructed, what the rules are, how it works, how pain comes from sin. You have to analyze. You have to investigate and analyze everything in this material world. You have to understand fully. And then, by that process, then you'll be able to, when you know how the material world works, then you'll be able to avoid committing sinful activities. So this is the recommendation that Shukadeva Goswami is giving here. And it sounds like a very wonderful proposal. Yes, okay. I'll study the shastras. I'll learn about sin and piety, and I'll understand everything there is to know about sin, and then I'll be able to avoid it. Sounds like a very nice proposal. Then I don't have to suffer anymore. I'll be very happy. So Arjuna also had this conception. Second chapter. Guruna Hatva Hina Mahanu Bhavan Shreyo Bhoktung Bhaiksham Apiha Loke. Yeah, why should I? Okay, it's my, you say it's my duty to kill my gurus. Gurun Ahatva Hi Mahanu Bhavan. Okay, but by doing that, by following my duty, then it'll be very difficult situation for me, because how will I be able to live without my gurus? Every kind of, I may get so much enjoyment by having the kingdom if I win the battle. But how will I be able to really enjoy it? Because Advarta kamang stu guruni haiva bunjiya bhogan rudhira pradigdhan. There'll be blood everywhere. All my enjoyment will be rudhira pradigdhan. It'll be contaminated by the blood of everyone I have to kill. So what is the solution? I'll live by bhiksha. I'll just give up, and I'll go to the forest, or I'll give up my position, and I'll just live by begging. So this is also Arjuna's suggestion to Krishna, that he not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. But actually, this we should understand this process of karma. Srila Prabhupada, he analyzes here that he talks about the process of knowledge. He advises to take up the process of knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada always emphasizes that what is real knowledge? That just to understand the way the material world works and to follow these in a few verses, there'll be a very famous verse, Tamasa, Tapasa Brahmacharyena, Shamena Cha, Damena Cha, Tyagena Satyashav Cha, Yamena Niyamena Va, etc., etc. This famous verse Shukadeva Goswami will give to explain the process of jnana. Yes, perform austerities, avoid the association of women, be equal in mind, control your senses, be clean, renounce, etc., etc. He'll explain that process. So Srila Prabhupada always, when he explains these verses, he always emphasizes that there is, that this is not complete knowledge. To know all these things, to renounce this material world, to know all these things about how to, it will not actually save you from committing sin. He said the only way is to know Krishna. And if you know Krishna, then only by that way will you be able to completely avoid sin. This is also described 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Talks between Krishna and Uddhava. Uddhava asks, Guna dosha bidha drishtir nigamat te nahisvata nigamena apavadascha bidaya iti ha brahma. My dear Lord, the distinction observed between piety and sin comes from your own Vedic knowledge and does not arise by itself. If the same Vedic literature subsequently nullifies such distinction between piety and sin, there will certainly be confusion. So Uddhava is wondering how to understand these processes of karma and jnana, and why sometimes the process of karma is recommended in the Shastra, why sometimes the process of jnana, and why sometimes the process of bhakti. He says it would seem that it would confuse people if sometimes you say that karma is the process, atonement is the process, then later on you talk about how No, karma is not the right process, you should do jnana. And then later on you say, no, that's not the right thing, you should do bhakti. Then this will cause confusion. So Krishna justifies. He gives the reasons why it's necessary for the Vedas to speak of all these three things. Text 6, 11th canto, chapter 20. Krishna speaking, Yogastrayo maya prokta nrinam shreyo viditsaya jnanam karma cha bhaktischa no payo nyo sikut prachit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, because I desire that human beings may achieve perfection, I have presented three paths of advancement. The path of knowledge, the path of work, and the path of devotion. Besides these three, there is absolutely no other means of elevation. So unless one performs one of these three paths, there's no hope of elevation. So, in the purport, it's described, in the process of jnana, one seeks impersonal liberation by merging into the glaring effulgence of the Personality of Godhead. Such liberation is considered hellish by devotees because by merging one loses all awareness of the supreme blissful feature of the Lord as Bhagavan, the Supreme Person. The performers of karma, regulated work, seek the three aspects of human progress other than liberation, namely religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. The fruitive workers think that by exhausting each of their innumerable material desires, they will gradually come out of the dark tunnel of material existence into the clear light of spiritual liberation. This process is very dangerous and uncertain, because not only is there virtually no limit to material desires, but even a slight flaw in the process of regulated work constitutes sin and throws one off the path of progressive life. The devotees directly aim for love of Godhead and are therefore most pleasing to the Supreme Lord. In any case, all three divisions of Vedic elevation depend completely on the mercy of Lord Krishna. One cannot progress along any of these paths without the blessings of the Lord. Other Vedic processes, such as austerity, charity, and so forth, are included within the three primary divisions described here. Then text 7, Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinam iha karmasu teshva nirvinna chittanam karma yogas chukaminam. Among these three paths, jnana yoga, the path of philosophical speculation, is recommended for those who are disgusted with material life and thus detached from ordinary fruitive activities. So those who are attached to fruitive activities, okay, do the path, follow the path of karma. Those who are disgusted with material life and are detached from fruitive activities, having many desires yet to fulfill, should seek perfection through the path of jnana yoga. Then, in text 8, Krishna sums up. Yadrichaya matkatadao jata shradhast tuyak puman na nirvinno nati shakto bhakti yogo sya siddhada. If somehow or other by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. So, Krishna dismisses the path of karma and the path of jnana. The karma, for the path of karma is those who are very much attached to fruitive work. The path of jnana is for those who are completely disgusted with material work. But bhakti, in order to perform bhakti, you have to be neither. You have to be neither attached to fruitive work nor completely disgusted with functioning in the material world. So then one can understand, if one has this mentality, then he can understand that, oh, this material world can be used to purify those same things which are those same works in the material world which are causing the karmis to commit sin and which are repulsive to the jnanis. If we do them in Krishna's service, then one can achieve not just the temporary relief of prayaschitta according to the path of karma. When one performs prayaschitta according to the path of karma, yes, one gets relieved from the immediate sin that one's just committed, but the long-term relief doesn't come. And simultaneously, if one performs bhakti, then one is also freed from the dangerous path of trying to be completely renounced and completely avoiding all sorts of material activity that might lead to sin, because it's not possible to be completely free from any tinge of material activity as long as one has material body. If not impossible, then very, very, very difficult. And it's a great, many, many jnana yogis have fallen from the path of jnana because they could not completely give up this material world. And then they end up with nothing. They perish like a riven cloud, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So the path of bhakti is recommended. And Krishna sums up his instructions to Uddhava in text 11, chapter 20. Asmil loke vartamana swadharmasto nagak suchi jnanam vishuddham apnoti madbhaktin va yadrichaya. One who is situated in his prescribed duty, free from sinful activities and cleansed of material contamination, in this very life obtains transcendental knowledge, or, by fortune, devotional service unto me. Very important, this yadrichaya, that one has to be fortunate in order to take up the process of bhakti. Without the process of bhakti does not belong to this material world. Only bhakti can create bhakti. By giving up the process of karma and the process of jnana, the process of karma eventually will lead to the process of jnana. But the process of jnana cannot lead to the process of bhakti. Because bhakti is of the spiritual nature and jnana is of the material nature. So only if one gets a touch of the spiritual nature through the association of a bhakta can one take up the process of bhakti. And that one gets the association of a devotee, of a bhakta, only by good fortune. So by following the process of karma and the process of jnana, one may achieve some piety. And when that piety matures, then one becomes eligible to take advantage of the association of devotee. And when a devotee comes, gives association, then if one is pious, then one will take it up and become a devotee oneself. So this is the relationship between these three processes that Shukadeva Goswami is explaining here. And we'll close with a very nice verse from a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describing the relationship between karma, jnana, bhakti. Krishna bhakti chintamani tar sparshe lohakhani karma jnana gata shraddha bhav hoye joy hema bhara chariyat to kubikara se kevala manira prabhav. Krishna bhakti chintamani. So Krishna bhakti is chintamani. It's like a touchstone. Tar sparsha loha kani karma jnana gata shraddha bhav. So this, if one has karma shraddha or jnana shraddha, if one has faith in the process of karma or faith in the process of jnana, these are compared to loha, iron, like base metal. These processes, this shraddha, if one has shraddha in these processes, one is eligible to receive the chintamani touch of Krishna bhakti. We should not criticize those who have faith in the process of karma and faith in the process of jnana. This is their adhikar. And if they have that faith, then they'll be saved somewhat from committing sinful activities. They'll gain some piety. And eventually they'll be eligible for Krishna bhakti. So we should not criticize those who have these or following these other processes. Hoya joya hema bhara chariya to tubikara. So this karma and jnana shraddha, they undergo bikara, they undergo some transformation by this chintamani, by the power of this bhakti chintamani. And only, it says kevala, only by this power of this bhakti do these karma and jnana processes become converted into bhakti. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Questions or comments from the learned assembly? Sanatan, is there a microphone?
Prabhuji, at the last you mentioned from that song that those who are having faith on the process of jnana or karma, so one should not criticize them.
Not discourage them. Yes.
Not discourage them. But I may be wrong, please correct me. Like what we see these days is that people, those who are engaged in karma kanda or jnana kanda, means mostly karma kanda, means they are doing it without having any understanding why it is to be done. It's more of ritualistic.
Yeah.
So can we say that they have faith and that's why they are doing that, this process will ultimately give them, get them rid of all sins. So in that case, what should we...
You may try to instruct them, discourage them in that process, but if they have no faith in you, then they'll not take that instruction. But if they have faith in you, then you can instruct them to take up the process of bhakti. But Srila Prabhupada was so expert when he went to the West, he didn't... He always emphasized, no, don't give up what you're doing. He said, don't give up what you're doing. Just add Krishna. This is our preaching secret. He said, okay, you're doing those processes, karma and jnana. Okay, fine. But also chant Hare Krishna. Give your good association. Show your good example. But don't tell them, oh, give up. Just don't just without them having faith in you and being able to transform that faith into something, some higher faith, don't just saying, oh, it's useless, what you're doing is useless. It's not useless, because by doing that, even though not without proper understanding, by doing that they're getting some piety, and they'll eventually, that piety will lead to bhakti adhikar. Eventually. Okay? Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.